Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
For 35 years, I have thought about that day I was in that little hospital room holding my mother's tiny hand, waiting. A doctor we had never met before came into the room and stood in front of us, hugging his clipboard. My mom looked up at him and asked, "How long do I have, doctor?" The doctor matter-of-factly said, "Could be 3 weeks, could be 3 months, we just don't know." It wasn't long after that day she left us. My mom's journey was only 9 weeks long after she was diagnosed. Those 9 weeks were very uncomfortable and at times very painful for her. Her organs were filled with cancerous tumors, and she was still recovering from the surgery. Those aliens were inside of her having a war, and they were winning. She didn't have the strength or energy to do anything from her bucket list. At 41 years old, I don't even think she had a bucket list. She didn't have the resources to travel the world and experience everything possible before she died. My mother never even saw Hawaii. She was in bed, waiting. 35 years ago seemed so present to me as I sat in the little room with my husband holding my hand and meeting a doctor for the first time. "Book 'em, Dano." As soon as we got into the car to head home, I took the notes out that were given to me by the receptionist to book my biopsies. I wasn't waiting. I suddenly realized that everything was up to me. I was told what I should do, but it was up to me to do it. It was up to me to take the next step, or not. It was up to me if, where, and when I would go for the biopsies. It was up to me to decide who I would tell about this. It was up to me to take the bull by the horns and do what I had to do for my life. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Accent On. My name is Chrissy Lomax, and I'm honored to be sitting in as guest host for Ilona every Monday in December at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I'm grateful to Ilona for providing me this opportunity to create a forum of experience to help in the many areas of life that are affected by a cancer diagnosis. What I just read to you was a chapter from my yet-to-be-published book I just finished writing since finishing treatment for my breast cancer 15 months ago, called Another Interruption, My Journey Through HER2-New Positive Breast Cancer. I'm not a doctor or medical professional. I'm coming to you from a place of experience. I have the experience of a fitness professional, a nutrition specialist, a Pilates instructor, a marathon coach, a weight loss coach, a motivational speaker, and most importantly, a survivor. I beat HER2-new positive breast cancer. I'd like to thank Dr. Stephen Fitch and Valerie Fitch for sponsoring this hour on LA Talk Radio's Accent On. Thank you so much, Stephen and Val. I'd like to introduce my husband, Joe. Thank you again for being here to help me and take care of all that stuff so I don't have to worry about it and I can focus on my amazing guests. I have three, including Michelle, that showed up as well. I have three great guests in the room tonight that I cannot wait for you to meet. I have Judy Paliungas of The Spiritual Mall. She's the co-founder of The Spiritual Mall, and she is also a caregiver right now to her husband who is dealing with cancer, going through treatment. Her sister-in-law, or her sister's husband, is also going through cancer, and also her assistant is going through cancer. So, Judy, welcome tonight to the show.
Oh, thank you, Chrissy.
Glad you could be here. I would like to also introduce Kadam Rebecca Gauthier, and she is going to help us heal tonight, big time. So I'm really excited to hear what Rebecca has to say as well. So I would like to, and then Michelle came along with Rebecca, who is also from the Buddhist Center, and I would like to hear from you as well. But let's start with Judy. I would like to find out what's going on with you, and tell me about the Spiritual Mall first. So what is the Spiritual Mall?
Well, the Spiritual Mall is an online community where we bring buyers and sellers together for socially, spiritually, and eco-friendly products. And I started it with a really good friend of mine, Reverend Colleen Sherline, a few years ago, and it fit for a couple of different reasons. First reason is that we noticed that there are so many people who are waking up and realizing that there's more to themselves, and they would say that they're spiritual, but they're not religious. And there's not a lot of, at least up until recently, there weren't a whole lot of places that catered to people that were non-religious. And there was, you know, you had either, it was either, you know, pushing a religion, or it was really, really out there, like really New Age or something. And then we were just trying to find something that was, that would speak to the masses and to really relate to them. And we also noticed, and because I'm a graphic design professional.
A very talented graphic designer, yes.
Yeah, graphic design business for over 20 years. And I've had the privilege of working with some amazing people, all heart-centered entrepreneurs. And a lot of them had products that they were developing and that I was actually helping them with. And we're realizing that they really needed a place to showcase their product in a way.
Yes, and you were helping with packaging and designing and creating and logos. And very talented.
Yeah, so we thought, you know what, there's a really big need here. So it's like an online consignment shop, and we've got amazing, you know, gifts. There are living gifts, jewelry, books, music, all that kind of stuff. But it's really more of a community that we're building.
Right. For example, you have something on your wrist tonight that you showed us all that's really interesting. Tell us about it.
Well, it's actually one of our more popular products. It's called the Meaning to Pause bracelet. And you can design your own. They have lots of different gems you can pick from. But it's got a capsule that has a timer that you can set for either 60 minutes or 90 minutes. And it vibrates. And so it causes you to pause, meaning to pause, to pause and do whatever it is that you want to do with your mindfulness moment. And that could be anything from standing up and stretching, getting a drink of water, saying a prayer, taking a deep breath.
Holding plank.
Yeah, well, for you, maybe. Yeah, and so for me, I've been using my pause moments, because I am at a computer all day, to get up and stretch, and then it also for me to actually notice, like, how am I feeling? Like, what is my emotional state right now? I sometimes find myself in my head, and find out that I'm feeling anxious or feeling whatever, and I'm not even aware of it. So it's good to just check in and see, okay, here's how I'm feeling, and then make a conscious choice about, how would I love to feel, and what, how do I want to show up right now, and just make that little shift.
Yeah, especially now, too, that you are dealing with your husband going through this with stage four.
Yeah, well, I tell you, it's been a really challenging year, and it started with one of my best friends tragically lost her husband unexpectedly, and then shortly after that, my husband was diagnosed with stage four cancer, and my sister, who finally found love later in her life, this amazing man that she married, is going through basically final stages of experimental treatment for brain tumor.
Yes.
And my niece lost the love of her life unexpectedly this year. And then my personal assistant, she's worked with me now for over 20 years, and she got a cancer diagnosis. And sometimes it just feels like, wow, what's going on this year, and why so many things all at once?
Yeah.
And, and it was my opportunity to stand in and support in so many ways, mm-hmm. With loss and with illness and all of the things that means or that it doesn't mean, and just the opportunity to be of service, but also, wow, an opportunity for me to really grow in my own spiritual practice.
Yes. So the Spiritual Mall, then, there are a lot of benefits to you in your life right now that keep, because of your business, it's reminding you to take care of your own mental and physical well-being. So yet that you can be on the top of the list to take care of everybody else.
Well, and it's really drawing on that community of support that we're developing. And, that's the one thing that I would say, one of the biggest things that has really kept me centered is choosing the right people to surround yourself with, the people who can hold state and believe with you even when you're feeling like you're not sure how you're going to do that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Choosing to be around people that lift you up. Yeah, yes. I've got to tell you something. When I was diagnosed, you know, I had a huge party bus, massive, like a double-decker party bus, okay? And as the months went on of my treatment, and my treatment lasted a whole year, I just had to keep pulling over and letting people off. You know, I don't think you belong on this bus. I really didn't know how some people got on my party bus in the first place. So now I have a much smaller bus, but it's filled with people that do lift me up. Yeah, and you get a lot of clarity when you go through cancer treatment.
Oh, that's so
and I'm
true.
Sure being with your husband, just like my husband Joe, was there for me. He went through everything just the same as I did. So you're probably just, like you said, discovering things about yourself. What are you doing specifically? Because you have a lot of responsibility to work, still keep your business going, make sure your husband's getting to his appointments, helping him on the days he's not feeling well, making sure that he's keeping as healthy as he can with what he's eating and moving. What are you doing to take care of yourself going through this?
Well, I think one of the very first things that I've really had to do is be honest with myself and how I'm feeling. And you actually brought up a really good point about those of us who are supporters can be literally experiencing some sort of form of PTSD.
Yes.
And I knew that, you know, my emotions were much more, I felt like I was on edge a lot more. And I actually had something happen within the last few months, and I just kind of started connecting the dots when we were talking more about this and about, you know, about the effects. Mm-hmm. And I've never, ever had a challenge driving in driving or traffic, anything like that. I've always been fearless. And in the last few months, I found myself almost having like a crippling fear with that really frantic, stop and go traffic, where I almost can't even drive. And I had to, at first I was like really hard on myself, like, you know, oh, what the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And, you know, why are you, you know, get over it.
And I'm not old.
Yeah. And then I realized, you know what, it's obviously there's something going on that I need to listen to. I need to just tune in and like figure out, okay, you know, where might this be coming from? And then how can I, number one, give myself a break and realize that, okay, yes, I'll work through this and we'll get to the root cause. We'll go through whatever we need to do to work that through. But at the same time, it's like, it's okay that it's okay that you're having these challenges.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that I do is that I'm, you know, I've really, really, and along with my husband, because, you know, one of the biggest ways to beat cancer is to take control of it yourself, and nutrition and how you, the food that you put in your body is so important. And so I have actually been on this journey with him, and, you know, we've completely eliminated sugar from our diet.
Good,
and,
good. Yeah.
And so just, you know, putting really healthy things into the body, and then restorative yoga is what I'm really finding has been helping me. It's an opportunity for me to really to take that much needed break and to let my body go through some gentle releasing, because you hold so much stress in your body. You don't even, and that's one of the things with this whole mindfulness thing, where checking in, it's like, oh my God, I've been clenching my teeth for 90 minutes. I didn't even realize that, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
So this restorative yoga is so amazing. And
good.
Yeah.
And so you've found some things to be able to help you cope.
Yes.
Because you have to be on top of it all.
Yeah, and then, you know, surrounding myself with a really small, tight-knit group of what I call, you know, partners in believing or mastermind partners. And I have a couple of business partners who are amazing, too, that have literally, they've stepped in when they've needed to, and just the kind of support that
without
I can.
Without asking.
Yes, without asking. Yeah. Without expecting anything in return. Yeah. It's been awesome.
Fantastic. Yeah. How is Jim, your husband, right now? How is he doing?
Well, you know what? We got some really good news this last week. And I think part of it, too, is, you know, there's that, you know, that tendency to not celebrate too much because you're not really sure what's around the bend. But at the same time, I want to just be so full of gratitude for you know, where we're at and the fact that he is responding. And,
yes.
You know, we know that there's a big portion of his journey left, but you know, right now we're grateful that he is responding, and that you know, we feel like, I mean, there's no reason to not expect that he's going to live a long, happy, healthy life.
That's totally exciting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very happy to hear that, Judy. Really good news. Now, Joe can share a lot of what you're talking about, because he was there watching me go through the whole whole journey, and he was affected physically by it.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah,
he was affected very physically by it and was under doctor's care. And it really was difficult for him. And he's come back from it pretty good. But, you know, it affects everyone involved. And it's a scary thing. Yeah. But you always have to keep thinking about the silver linings and everything that is going the right way and focusing only on what is working.
What is working?
Because then when we focus on what is working in this treatment and what is working, then we get more of that. As long as we keep focusing on that and always just keep thinking about what we want the outcome to be and keep focusing on that, and we're going to get more of that. If we think about what the worst parts of it, we're just going to breathe life into that. And nobody wants to do that ever. Mm-hmm. And I did a lot of that kind of journey when I was in bed there thinking and writing. And writing was a big thing for me to be able to do. But the sugar thing, yeah, because some people are like, oh, yeah, whatever. But you know what? It is scientifically proven. And it was in October of 2017, another study came out that talked about how cancer cells metabolize sugar. Yeah, that's their fuel. So as soon as I was diagnosed, well, as soon as they called me back for more images, and I knew this already, that was it. I remember the last day I had anything with sugar in it. And that was a long time ago. So you have to read everything, I'm telling you. There are sugar and things you cannot believe why there would be sugar in that. So read your labels. And if you want to know anything more about that, I can surely help you. And at the end of the show, I'll be giving you information how to contact me for any support on that as well. And in my book that I am writing, part two of my book, I've already written about the journey. Part two of the book is going to have my exercise programs, because that's what I do. It's going to also have the recipes I created. I was cooking up a storm, just creating all new recipes that were just to fuel and heal the body. Also, all the things that I did to make it through the treatment and all my tips and advice. So that will be coming up as well. Thank you so much, Judy, for sharing that. And know that you're welcome to keep contributing here as we move along. Now, Rebecca, I would love to introduce.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Hi. Can I just say, Judy, that you have the most melodious voice. And you would be amazing at guiding meditations. And you may want to consider guiding your husband in a meditation, because I felt in a very meditative state just listening to you.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Very, very great voice. Well, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
On the radio.
Right, Michelle?
Yeah.
Total.
Oh, Michelle.
Melodious.
Yeah, I thought the same thing the entire time.
Yes.
Beautiful.
And well, thank you for having me, Chrissy. I really, really appreciate
very
it.
Very excited
thank you. I'm
to
honored.
Have you here. I first heard you leading a meditation, and that was in Westlake Village at the Buddhist Center there. My sister goes to the Kadampa Center in Hong Kong. That's where she lives. So she told me to go to the one in Westlake Village. Chrissy, it's right across your road. And that's why I ended up going to see you, because this is where my sister goes in Hong Kong, the same Buddhist
Gintong
center.
Yes. He's a good friend of mine, yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
He's an amazing teacher, yes.
Yeah, she absolutely loves him, yes. So please tell us, how did you get involved? Now, for 20 years, you have been leading meditation. And are you what they call a contemporary Buddhist practitioner?
Yeah, in our tradition, which is called the New Kadampa tradition, what my teacher Geshe Kelsa Nyatso likes to say, and he's actually retired now, and the general spiritual director is a Buddhist nun from Ireland who,
wow,
her name is Genla Dekyong, and she is just sublime. What we refer to ourselves as is like presenting Buddhism in a modern way so that it's accessible to modern practitioners. People don't think they need to change anything, particularly externally, in order to be able to develop a meditation practice, which is the cornerstone of Buddhism. And so for me, I got into this practice when actually I was living in Europe in Seville, Spain. My friend got a job translating for a Buddhist monk, and he said, "You really need this." And he was correct. He started dragging me to class. And he was right. I found it incredibly beneficial. And so later on, I ended up becoming a resident teacher. And the reason why I became a resident teacher, I came from the entertainment world. I was a singer-songwriter and also did improv comedy, is because as we were talking about before we began the show, cancer is something that has affected my family considerably. My mother is one of six children, and all six have had cancer. Two, unfortunately, have passed. The other four have survived, but it has come back multiple times, including with my mom. And so when I was in my early 30s, I had a cancer scare, and I was the same age that my mom was when she was diagnosed with ovarian cancer and ultimately had to have, you know, everything removed in an effort to, you know, keep it at bay and survive. And so we were the same age, and I had to be brought back in because there was something wrong. And ultimately, it ended up being a positive diagnosis, and they were just like precancerous cells, not the actual cancer. However, what that two-week period in waiting for the diagnosis and what it was going to be did for me was it helped me really examine what was important to me in my life, what I wanted to do with my life, and the path that I wanted to be on. And ultimately, it was to dedicate myself to spiritual practice and helping others and through the medium of meditation, presented specifically the Buddhist way. And so I made that decision, got the results back, and that's how I became a resident teacher. And then the day that my daughter was born, my mom called and said, look, I really didn't want to tell you this. I didn't want to stress you out during your pregnancy, but it's time you now know I've been diagnosed with cancer. And they didn't want me to have a double mastectomy. And ultimately, my mom ended up having just like one side. But again, it was a powerful reminder to me of the fragility of life. And then my father was diagnosed a couple of years later. Ugh. And he is fine now, as is my mom. She's got the 5 years under her belt.
Fantastic.
But nevertheless, you know, cancer is something that's prevalent here in the West. I've often asked in my meditation classes, when we do the meditation that I'm going to describe in a bit called Taking and Giving, which is known for its power and ability to cure cancer. And yes, I said the word cure. You know, I oftentimes will say, has anyone here, anyone know anyone who has cancer? And the entire class raises their hand.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I had to, just today, I had three students in the class, two in remission now that went through rigorous, you know, chemo and everything, mm-hmm. losing their hair like you
like
described,
I did, yeah.
Yes. And then one of my male students who just had an intense surgery and now begins his chemo next week. And again, they're going to be aggressive about it. And so these people are oftentimes prescribed by their doctors meditation to integrate into the practices, however the approach is that they're, you know, utilizing to remove their cancer. Meditation has become like a part of their healing and their recovery and the fight against cancer, because the mental component to healing anything is critically important. And in my opinion, sometimes isn't looked at enough in the West. However, in the East, that's just the way it was.
Yes.
As I was mentioning, my teacher, Geshe Kelsang Yatso, who's from Tibet, growing up in the early 30s and thereafter, there weren't hospitals. You know, you didn't have the doctors or anything like that. You went to your spiritual teacher, your guru, your lama, your spiritual guide, however you want to call them. And the prescription you were given was a meditation. And so these meditation practices that exist are a powerful way to cause healing on any level, mentally, physically, emotionally. And the one that I want to mention is called Taking and Giving.
I love it.
And
yes.
And you know, we did that together,
yes.
Chrissy, right? At the
yes.
center. It's like the number one go-to in multiple books. You can Google it online. It is really, really famous and incredibly effective. And you would sound amazing guiding it.
Wow.
My voice is like nails on a chalkboard.
No.
Yours is so beautiful. and so Taking and Giving back in the day. So originally it was taught completely in secret to students of a special learned capacity. You know, it was handed down from master to student in an oral lineage, not written down. And then this Geshe came along, Geshe Chikawa, this renowned meditation master. And at that time, there was this horrible outbreak of leprosy, which is a disease that still exists today, causes your parts of your body to self-amputate. It's highly contagious. And so he was observing the plight of these lepers, which then, you know, you had to leave your home, your village, and just basically go to a graveyard or a cemetery to die. It was a complete death sentence. And there was no known cure, and people didn't know what to do. And so the family and friends of those that were the lepers, you know, suffering that loss, the lepers in this situation where there was no hope. And so Geshe Chikao observed this plight, and at the risk of his own life, he went to these graveyards and cemeteries, and he decided to teach them taking and giving. And then he even brought many of these people back to his home, which took on the appearance of a hospital. And so he started teaching the practice taking and giving. And much to everyone's astonishment, many of these lepers were cured. They went back to their homes and their villages, and their families were just overjoyed at their return. And that's how the meditation became popular. And people started to find out about it. And then it was just passed on by everybody.
Wasn't a secret anymore.
No, it wasn't a secret anymore. Thank goodness. Thank goodness for us.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the taking and giving meditation to me is so powerful because it embodies the two mental states that, you know, Judy and Chrissy and you, you know, Joe. All of you had to encompass.
Yeah.
And that's compassion and wishing love, because compassion in Buddhism is this deep, sincere wish for those that you love to be free from suffering. Well, anyone to be free from suffering. And so Joe, in all those times when you were sitting with your wife and through all of it, you know, what were you exhibiting? What were you expressing? Compassion. And you, in your whole outlook in fighting cancer, which we talked about prior to the interview, I mean, compassion for yourself. Like, I don't want myself to suffer. And so going about it in a way that was highly effective, having that right mental attitude, because that's such a big part of the battle. And then you with your husband, oh my goodness, and everyone else in your family and your assistant, just like being so supportive and, you know, holding the space for them to heal. I think that's so critically important that the people who aren't suffering from the illness are able to hold the space for healing and wellness. And that's provided through the mind of compassion. And so in this meditation, you're generating this mind of compassion. That's one part of it. And then the other piece of it is you're generating the mind of wishing love, which is the ultimate expression of love. It's this mind that sincerely, altruistically wishes for others to be happy with no self-agenda, no strings attached. I think a big part of supporting people when they're going through something like cancer and you know, fighting it, and we talked about this too prior to the interview, is again, you have to think about them. It's not about you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If we make it about us, well, now we're of no help to them and we're harming, you know, the relationship and causing right. problems for ourselves. Like, I think you need to do it this way. Well, you're not them, you know, and you have to mm-hmm. give whoever's going through it the power and freedom to make their choices based on their body and what they want to do in terms of how they want to go about fighting it. And I think that's part of love, like watching and supporting. So with wishing love, it's this mind that wants others to be happy permanently. And so the way that we do the meditation is it's a breathing technique, actually. What you do is you imagine whoever is suffering. So in the case of cancer, let's say, like when my mom had cancer, I would imagine her. And you can specify the area that the cancer is afflicting. So for my mom, this time around, it was on her breast. So I'd focus and imagine all the cancer in the form of heavy, thick, dark smoke. And then I'd imagine that I'd take it on. Like I'd take it on through inhaling it in, and it would travel down to my heart. And then she'd be completely cancer-free. And then think how wonderful, now she is completely free from her cancer. Okay? And then the second part is imagining that your body transforms into a wish-fulfilling jewel that has the power and ability to grant whatever is wished for by transforming and imagining just white light rays emanating from every single pore of the body, touching. So in this case, if I'm doing the meditation for my mom, you know, the white light enters her crown, travels down through her entire body, and it's just like obliterates anything, you know, any cancer cell, any abnormality, anything. And now she's vibrant and healthy and vital. She was a big tennis player, so I would imagine her like playing tennis and beating all her opponents, and she's into yoga. My mom's really, really active, going for long walks, and imagine her doing this with a tremendous amount of vitality. And then it's like a projection of your mind of this very pure experience for someone else, and then in turn that makes you happy. And so the final part of the meditation is you feeling really joyful. And so what we're training our mind to do is be happy because someone else is happy. And that's hugely important in general and in relationships and in healing, because love is known as the great protector. It's very protective, it's very positive, and it's just like, to me, this infusion of an incredible amount of positive momentum in the mind that you need to battle something like cancer. And you can also do it for yourself. So you'd imagine yourself in the space in front of you and do the same thing. And before taking on the dark smoke, just generating this mind of compassion. Before imagining you transform into a wish-fulfilling jewel, really generating that mind of wishing love. And from a karmic perspective, through the development of these minds, it purifies any negative karma that can be contributing to whatever is happening in the body or in the mind. And so, like I said, this meditation has this renowned history. And to me, it's one of the meditations I teach quite often, because everybody derives benefit from it. And it is now known as, you know, a cure for cancer, which is a very Western disease. My teacher had never heard of cancer. And he came to America.
Really?
He came to England in 1977. And he was like, what is this cancer? And then it just, you know, skyrocketed.
Boom. Yeah.
Yeah. It's unprecedented. I mean, animals are getting cancer.
And the Chinese characters, when because I had Raina here last week from the East West Medicine UCLA, and cancer, if you look at the diagram, the characters of it, it's stagnation.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hmm. And so, you know, just to reiterate, I think for anyone who's listening that might be going through something, maybe, you know, you have cancer or a loved one has cancer, I think addressing the mental piece of like illness and healing is really important. It's an integrative approach. You know, we talk about how the body and the mind, although in Buddhism we believe they're two separate entities, nevertheless they're closely related and very much connected, of course. And so whatever's going on in the mind, which is why, Judy, what you do is so great, like encouraging people to take that moment to exercise mindfulness, to have appreciation and gratitude. I mean, that's scientifically known that if you have gratitude, if you express gratitude for things, it's scientifically proven that it can increase your lifespan and the quality of your life. Because from a meditator's point of view, the quality of your life is determined by the quality of your mind.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And many of my contemporaries who are resident teachers and who teach meditation have gotten cancer, and some have survived, some have not. Their whole approach in dealing with, you know, this disease at any stage, be it stage, you know, 1 or 2 or 3 or 4, is to have a very positive outlook and not identify with the cancer as them, which we were also all talking about. Like you were talking about how you would lay in bed and say, "Man, this cancer's getting its ass kicked today." When you were feeling really horrible, right? Is that okay to say? Can I say that on
absolutely,
radio?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Never really done.
It's true, though.
I know my teacher's not listening. Did you just say what I think you said?
It's true,
I'm
though.
Kicking my butt.
The days it was just like the worst. I thought, oh. It's really getting done in today, boy.
Right?
I thought that the sicker I felt, I figured the better the treatment was working.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I think that's a really powerful message for listeners, is to not identify with it. So it's like, yeah, there's something wrong with my body, like my mom. Yeah, there's something wrong in my father too. And I remember when he told me he had cancer, I just immediately started crying, and he said, we need to focus on solutions. Like, he's also a Boston tax attorney from Boston. He's like, stop crying. We need to focus. stop crying. We need to focus on solutions. Okay, we know what the problem is. Now it's time to focus on solutions. And it was just like a good, you know, kick in the butt for me and like smack. Like, you know, I was crying because I made it about me for a moment. You know, oh my gosh, my dad has cancer. And what if he doesn't make, he's my dad. Like, I need my dad, right? And I made it about me. And he just called me on it immediately. And I was like, right, yeah, solutions. So interestingly, I was told right before I had to teach a meditation class, like 15 minutes before, and the class was packed. There was like 30 people there. And actually, the student who's getting cancer treatment next week reminded me of this. He said, remember when you came in and you sat down and you went to teach class and you just like burst into tears? And I was like, yes. Yes, thank you for reminding me. And he said, you know, it was really powerful. Like, I had that moment to express my grief, which I think we all need to allow ourselves. You know, sometimes if we're too, I need to tough it out. And, you know, we have to be honest with our emotions, like you were saying, and what we're feeling and what we're going through. Otherwise, there's a discord internally, which could actually contribute to, you know, poor health.
Yeah, to more disease. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like you have to be honest when you're having that moment. I had my moment of honesty in front of an audience. And then I was like, look, Here's what just happened. I'm so sorry, but you know, I'm kind of in shock, and I'm really sad. And here's what we're gonna do: is everyone okay if we do taking and giving? And everyone was like, oh, absolutely. And so then
I'm excited for it.
We just did taking and giving, and at the end, you know, I was laughing and cracking jokes, and everyone saw that immediate transformation from a meditation. This is like one of the closest people to me in my life is my dad. Mm-hmm. And so they saw that, and my student reminded me of it today. He's like, that was really powerful, because you came in crying, and then next thing you know, you turned it into this empowering moment for everyone. It wasn't me, you know? It was the meditation, because it changes your state of mind. That's what meditations are meant to do, transform your mind.
That's great. So we're going to be able to do it here. How long does it take?
How long do we have?
How long do we have, Joe?
We have 10 minutes.
Till I have to.
Yeah.
I'm going to sing a song live at the end of the show tonight.
Oh,
yes,
hey,
I decided yesterday.
Michelle, maybe you can do harmony.
Yes,
Michelle's
please.
Got some singing skills.
Yes. Oh, see, I should have brought the tambourine, Joe.
Yeah, you totally rock the tambourine.
I brought the band. This is the band. Joe's going to, guitar, but Joe's going to be the rhythm section. Okay, yeah. I'm really glad that we're going to do this
because I was going to ask you to just say it again, because it's such a powerful practice. I wanted to be sure that I completely understand it. So if we get to go through it, that's going to be awesome.
Yes.
Okay.
I just want to say one thing before we do. Sometimes people, I get the question, hey, you know, I'm inhaling dark smoke. Is that bad or anything? And the analogy I like to give is, imagine a tree. It takes in CO2, which can be toxic, but gives out oxygen.
Right.
So it transforms it. It's like a transmutation of energy. And so that's what we're doing. We're taking that, and actually we're taking the dark smoke, and we're using it to destroy something harmful within us, which is selfishness. So I can't go too granular on the meditation, but we actually use it for a beneficial purpose. So that's something that I did want to mention.
Okay.
So I have my eye on the clock behind me. I'm going to try to read backwards.
What time
here.
Do you want to...
So you tell me.
6:45 we have to be out or done meditation?
4:30
Got it.
All right.
Got it. Okay, everyone. So we're all sitting in a chair. We just want to be mindful of three things: having a spine that's straight and not tense, placing our right hand in our left with our thumbs lightly touching. And then if we can, keep our eyes slightly open and softly gazed on the bridge of our nose. But if it's more comfortable and familiar, you can, of course, close your eyes all the way. And we can start by taking 6 nice deep breaths in and out of our nostrils, breathing, relaxing, letting go of any stress or tension we might be holding physically, mentally, imagining with every breath in and every breath out, our mind is becoming more calm, clear, still, and peaceful. then we can set our intention for this meditation, which we always encourage people to do. And in this case, it's through developing the minds of compassion and wishing love. May we heal ourselves from any pain, problems, or suffering, mentally or physically, and help others heal themselves so that there is no more suffering in the world. And then with this positive determination present, we begin this meditation known as taking and giving by imagining in the space in front of us whoever it is we would like to emphasize. It can be one person, it can be yourself, it can be the whole world, it can be for an animal, a group, a specific group of people like your family. It's totally up to you. We just imagine them in the space in front of us. And then what we do is we think about their suffering. If it's for someone who is going through the diagnosis of cancer, the treatment to fight the cancer, recovering, in remission, but still scared, whatever it is they're going through, or a loved one who's with a loved one who has cancer. We think about their suffering. We think about what they're going through. We try to connect with that experience as if it were happening to us that strongly. This is the mind of compassion, connecting with that experience, wishing for them to be free from it. And then we imagine we take on their suffering in the form of thick, dark smoke, inhaling in that dark smoke where it travels to our heart and completely destroys our selfishness. And then we recognize now they are completely free from illness, disease, cancer, unhappiness, whatever it is that we're taking away, and that we too are free from suffering and its causes. And we hold this mind of joy, just thinking how wonderful. And then we think about their happiness, how they want to be happy. And again, we connect with this experience and deeply wish for them to be happy, whole, vibrant, healthy. Through the power of this wish, we imagine our body completely transforms into a wish-fulfilling jewel that has the power and ability to grant whatever's wished for. We imagine that from every single pore of our body, brilliant white light rays emanate, filling the entire universe, touching all living beings that inhabit it, bestowing upon them permanent happiness, wellness, vitality, strength, power, anything we want. Use full creative license. And then we think how wonderful. Now they're completely happy, healed. And that makes us happy, and then we simply hold the mind of joy.
I can't stop smiling.
I can't stop crying.
Oh, that's amazing.
Well done, ladies.
Thank you, and gentlemen.
And Joe.
Yes.
Wow.
And you know what? You have a beautiful voice.
Yes. Will you tell my sister that? Let's call her after the show. Will you say, I love your sister's voice?
That was beautiful.
That really make my day.
Yes. That was beautiful. Ooh. I want to tell you, when I did this with you, when I did this with you at the Buddha Center, it was Joe that was in front of me because he was suffering because I was suffering. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want him to suffer mm-hmm. with me suffering. And I did it with you in mind. I remembered that now. Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you so much to my guests. I wish we had another hour. It was very powerful. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Kadam Rebecca Gauthier. Yeah, thank you. You were just fantastic. And when I do come back, I am going to be coming back in the new year to fill in for Ilona when she's doing her Lunda edition. I would love you to come back and spend more time.
Much.
Michelle, thank you so much for being here as well. And Judy, thank you so much. And to Joe, again, driving us here and everything.
Thank you, Joe.
I'd like to also, again, thank Dr. Stephen Fitch and Valerie Fitch for the LA Talk Radio sponsorship today for Accent On. Thank you so much for helping me provide this forum. I'll be back for the last Monday in December for the last show of the year, sitting in as guest host for Ilona Europa's Accent On LA Talk Radio, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Thank you, Ilona, for this amazing opportunity. Yes, I'm trying to put on a guitar here because I decided at the last minute, okay? You can contact me. I was saying that. You can contact me at Chrissy@ChrissyLomax.com or my Facebook page, Chrissy Lomax. My name is ChrissyLomax. And I was going to play a recorded song. We had it set up and everything sent in to play. But then at the last minute, I thought, you know what? It's Christmas. And my favorite Christmas carol is O Holy Night. I'd love to sing that for you live. I would like to thank everybody. So from my guests and me, Chrissy Lomax, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I wish you all the most beautiful holiday and happy Hanukkah as well. Keep yourself on top of the list. Treat yourself with as much love and respect that you can, and the same you do for everybody else. And stay present, and that's your best gift.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. This is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth.
Thanks so much. Have a great holiday, you guys. Yeah.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.